This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening with Ayman, Lynn and Kelvin. And it is the penultimate installment of Popit Popit Parliament for this sitting because tomorrow is the very last. But, you know, it's been quite productive, quite dramatic, as it always is. And Ayman, being the busy bee that he is, has returned from Parliament to let us know what went down today. Ayman, what do you have for us?
Well, Lynn, I think we've all heard that yesterday was the historic passing of the constitutional amendment to lower the age of the voting age to 18 years old.
Yeah, we were actually on air when that happened, we announced it. It was cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, of course, considering that, Ad Harun was the election commission chairman. He was in parliament today, ready to get to work. So I asked him about how you felt now that the amendments have finally been made.
It's high time that we passed the amendment. I think the increase in awareness, the increase in knowledge, and the very easy access to knowledge nowadays via broadband and internet, which is widely available in Malaysia and which is quite cheap compared to other developed countries. I think taking into consideration all those things, the amendment is in line. Policies affecting teenagers made every day by policymakers, by parliaments, by ministers, and seldom do we see that teenagers themselves are engaged, while these policies are being promulgated, So we have teenage problems like school dropouts, drugs, unwanted pregnancies, baby dumping, And each day we try to come up with policies on that, and their voices are not heard at all. And these are policies which affect their life, which affect their future, which affect their rights as children, and yet they have got no representation. And democracy demands that representation be chosen by as wide a spectrum from the society as possible. And I think it is a good move because of that.
Did he say what will be first on the EC's agenda to prepare for the transition to an automatic voter registration system?
He did talk about it a bit. He says that he needs to sit down with all the stakeholders so that he can gather the necessary data.
We have to engage with every stakeholders. So the data that are needed now will have to come from the Jabatan Penataran Negara with regard to citizenship and age and address. And then we've got to have data from the Jabatan Penjara with regard to the fact that he or she is not serving or liable to serve a prison sentence more than 12 months. Then we also have to rely on data from the Health Ministry on the fact that they are not of unsound mind and are not detained in any asylum. So, yeah, we need to inspect their data and try to sync in the data with us. But of course, at the operational level, we have to solve problem of apathy where, our people do not change address. So I cannot stress enough on this aspect of the operational issue. Number two, we also have several addresses which is non-existent. I normally quote Sulaiman Court as an example. Sulaiman Court has been gone for years and replaced by Sogo, but yet, we still have people with the address of Sulaiman Court. So when the electoral roll is being analysed by NGOs, they will say these are phantom voters, when in fact they are not. They have their IC, they are citizens, but their address is still there, that's all. So I think there need to be a massive, massive drive to encourage people to change their address.
That was Ad Harun, the chairman of the Election Commission, addressing, the historic vote that was passed yesterday, but also just the logistics of what's going to happen next. Okay, so voting aside, Ayman, what else happened today?
Well, YB Charles Santiago, who is the chairman of the National Water Services Commission, or SPAN, did a press conference about the water cuts in Selangor and KL that will be happening next week on the 23rd of July. So the water cuts this time is happening because there's another round of servicing to the Sungai Selangor Phase 1 water treatment plant. So he understands that he understands that the maintenance is necessary, but he also empathizes with those who are upset about it. So he issued a pretty stern warning to prove that SPAN takes their concerns very seriously.
We are also quite troubled at a personal level as well as Badan Kawal Selia with all this pemotongan air. And we have discussed this in the commission. If by 9 p.m. water does not come back to our homes on Friday, SPAN will request the Menteri Besar of Selangor to make management changes in IA Selangor. This is a warning to IA Selangor.
Very stern indeed. That was YB Charles Santiago, chairman of SPAN and also MP for Klang.
That is a full-on Japanese-style warning. It's like, provide your service or this is over. Yeah. You are not going to have your job anymore.
Go to every house and apologize.
Yeah, you just have to show that he cares about these people.
And, you know, to be fair, he's always been pretty consistent with this message. For a lot of people, I think the pain point here, aside from not having water, having to prep for that, is also, when will this whole idea of it being just a regular part of our daily lives end, right? It feels as if it's something that comes back time and time again, when in fact, it does seem to happen something like, 3 to 4 times a year for some people and can last for days for others. And of course, it's tremendously annoying.
Yeah, but it's also the expectation that water will always be there when we want it to. That's a fair expectation, but I guess it's also led to very dire problems like water wastage, for example.
So what do you think about the fact that there are going to be water cuts? Actually, are you guys in an affected neighbourhood? Have you already started doing the usual water cut hacks that people end up resorting to? What are they? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio and call 7733-2900.
Aman, do you have anything else from Parliament today?
Yes, I do. And this is quite something, so you have to prepare for this. So the Budget Select Committee released their report on the government's debts and liabilities. And it's a bipartisan report that's supposed to establish the real figures behind the government's debts and liabilities and all the related figures to it. And also how it will affect the government's development plans. So there's a lot to digest from this report, and I myself, I'm going to admit that I'm not an expert in these kind of things, but I do want to highlight two clarifications that the Rembau MP, YB Khairi Jamaluddin, who is also part of the committee, and one of the things that he said is that the government's debt has increased and that both the BN and Pakatan government were responsible for this.
Hutang rasmi kerajaan meningkat. Itu fakta. Ya? Daripada tahun lepas, 686 bilion kepada sekarang ini 799, almost 800 bilion. From Barisan Nasional's perspective, walaupun kita akui this is the true figure of debt and liability, kita juga nak maklumkan bahawa hutang rasmi kerajaan meningkat. Jadi soal nak kurangkan hutang kerajaan Pakatan Harapan ni tidak berjaya berlaku sekarang ni, setakat sekarang ni. Dan antaranya hutang itu meningkat sebab untuk pembangunan, untuk menguruskan defisit. Tapi juga saya nak tekankan bahawa hutang ini naik sebab revenue pun turun. Pendapatan kerajaan turun disebabkan penghapusan GST dan sebagainya. So perkara itu kena diakui juga oleh kerajaan. Just as I acknowledge the liabilities sampai 1 trillion, the government has to acknowledge also that they are responsible for increasing the debt daripada 680 bilion kepada hampir 800 bilion sekarang ini.
Another point that YBKJ made was he wanted to correct the accusations made in the past, saying that our country's 1 trillion ringgit debt is only because of 1MDB.
Kita selalu dengar tuduhan bahawa 1 trillion ini adalah disebabkan 1MDB. And the list is quite clear. 1MDB is only 32.2 billion hutang bersih. I'm not saying that it's a small amount, tetapi 1MDB sahaja tidak menyumbang kepada perbezaan antara hutang dan liability. Liability seperti mana Dato' Sri kata tadi, banyak benda, MRT, Pan Borneo, macam-macam lah. The list is all there for you. Jadi untuk simplify benda ni, kata ini adalah semua sebab 1MDB, tak betul. 1MDB memang contributing factor, we all agree on that, tetapi jumlahnya adalah 32 bilion saja. So you have to really look at the liability list, the government guarantee semua, to see apa projek yang bawa manfaat kepada rakyat, apa projek yang maybe questionable project.
Okay, look, so while we're on the subject of money, because that seems to be kind of one of the themes of the day, what else happened? I understand that there has been another kerfuffle, also kind of to do with GST.
Well, it won't be Parliament if there's no kerfuffles, right? So there was another ruckus today after the opposition chief, Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, called for YB Lim Guan Eng, the finance minister, to withdraw the use of the word robbery which Lim Guan Eng used back in August when he was talking about the allegedly missing 19.4 billion ringgit GST tax refunds. But the Dewan Rakyat Speaker, Datuk Sri Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof, refused to compel the finance minister to do so. So, of course, the opposition were not happy about this and they staged a walkout. And YB Ismail accused the Dewan Rakyat Speaker of double standards.
Saya lihat berlaku banyak double standard di dalam keputusan di dalam Dewan. Ahli-ahli parlimen kita yang pasti salah misalnya, menegur menteri kerana tidak hadir untuk menjawab soalan beliau walaupun sebelum tu berada di dalam Dewan. Dihalau keluar dan digantung selama 4 hari. Wakil PAS daripada Pengkalan Jepun hanya mengatakan macam pondan, bukan mengata pondan pun, macam pondan pun dihalau keluar 1 hari. Jadi bermakna dari segi keputusan, nampak macam seolah-olah ada double standard dari segi keputusan. Kalau speaker kata tak ada prima facie case, saya tak nampaklah. Saya pun bekas peguam. Mana boleh tidak ada prima facie case? Kalau tuduh merompak, duit tu masih ada.
Macam mana dia boleh jadi hakim pun saya tak tahulah. Useless.
That's the stuff that you like to hear in a press conference. Okay, so then did anybody respond to that?
Yeah, we asked Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng if he would retract his comment, and he said no.
No, I think the speaker has already said that you must see what was the context. So I think we feel that the context was used last year, and this matter was not brought up in the PAC report, so it is not relevant. And I have said that this is a tactic, a sandiwara. Ini adalah satu sandiwara oleh pihak pembangkang untuk alihkan perhatian, dan tentu mereka cuba mainkan sentimen. Tapi hakikatnya ialah kalau kita baca tentang apa yang dinyatakan dalam laporan PAC, bahawa wang ini telah pun digunakan untuk tujuan lain, itu salah. Kalau anda lihat mana undang-undang, itu salah. Bukan sahaja MACC akan ambil tindakan, polis pun ambil tindakan, kerajaan pun akan ambil tindakan.
One last thing, Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, the Port Dickson MP, held a press conference to answer questions on the recent arrest of PKR members who were suspected to be involved in that video scandal. So Datuk Sri Anwar said he was surprised to hear that his aide was called in. And this was his response when asked if he could deny that there was someone in the higher ups of PKR masterminding the scandal.
Higher than me can be, I think, Aziza. Okay. No, I think there's such insinuations. Of course, it's politics. Firstly, there's nothing established on Farhaj. I've not heard. Of course, I think if you take the issue of people then forwarding, I think some of you did. Technically, it is illegal. For me, I can vouch, you can check my phone. The moment I receive, I delete.
He was also asked whether he thought Economics Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Azmi Ali should resign.
Well, many party leaders have expressed their views. My initial view was for him not to resign. But it would depend on the process, the procedure of the investigations. If the investigations is rather conclusive in terms of the participants in the so-called act, then I think he need to resign. But if we have not ascertained the truth or veracity of the people, the two guys in the video, then he has the option to stay.
That was, of course, Port Dickson MP Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. And that has been the penultimate installment of Popit Popit Parliament, covered in press conferences, in conflict, just the usual things that you'd expect to hear. So if you have an opinion on water cuts, if you have an opinion on the GST refunds and the ongoing less than civil conversations surrounding that, let us know. You can call 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.